Okay, if not, are you ready for the word of the Lord this morning? Praise be to God. Our favorite Bible verse, well, I'll introduce this first. Pentecost, the awakening of the church. This is crucial for this year and crucial, I believe, for our time. Let's repeat our favorite Bible verse together, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. Now, thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ and through us diffuses the fragrance of His knowledge in every place. You know, that's an evangelistic scripture. That's Pentecost. Yes, it is. See, I keep telling you, I can preach this scripture every Sunday because it applies to the topic. It is just one of those classic universal scriptures. It's become that for me. But He wants to diffuse the fragrance of His knowledge in us, through us, to the world. That's Pentecost. That's what the gospel is all about. Listen, the gospel is not about self-improvement. Now, it'll improve you, but it's not a mental health club. It's about establishing the kingdom of God in the earth. Amen. That's what its point is. And in order to get it in the earth, He's got to get the kingdom in you. Yes. Hallelujah. See, that's the good news. That's why He made you born again. That's why He gave you a new life. Amen. Last week, we preached a message. I encourage you to get this and listen to it. It's on the internet. From Passover to Pentecost. We talked about all the things that were going through during the 50 days between Passover and Pentecost. And today I want to look at, today is Pentecost. And let's go to the classic scripture, Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. It says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So today is Pentecost. The church has celebrated Pentecost for almost 2,000 years. Think how long this has been around. I want to emphasize that, 2,000 years. But the Jews celebrated Pentecost since Yahweh gave them the law from the mountains, and that was 1,312 years before Christ was born. Whoa. See, we tend to think of Pentecost as being a Christian thing. The Jews have been celebrating it for 1,312 years before Jesus was born. And if He was 30 years old when He began His ministry, like many people suppose, then just tack on 30 years to that. It did not become Christian until after the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's when we began to see the implications of what Pentecost was all about. On the very first Pentecost, the Jewish Pentecost, Israel did not know what was going to happen. All they knew is Moses had gone up into the mountain. And they were just downstairs waiting, looking at their sundials and, you know, wondering how long is it going to be? It's the 40th day. How long is Moses going to be up there? What's going on up there? We hear the thundering. We hear the lightning. Is God killing them? Is God torturing them? You know, what is, I could be Jewish right now, what on earth is going on here? You know, it's like, but they're all wondering what's happening. And finally, on the 50th day, Moses comes down and he has the tablet. And he caught the church in sin when he came down from the mountain because they couldn't wait on God. And so they got involved in sin, and Moses came down. Now they know God's up there. They can see the mountain and they can see what's going on, but they're really not paying any attention to it because they're caught up on themselves. And we have got to figure something out. So the first Pentecost, they didn't know what was happening. This is why to the Jews, Pentecost is also known as the Feast of Revelation. because God gave them the Torah. And with the Torah came understanding, came revelation of who God was and what God expected out of them. You know, it's, oh man, I can go in so many different ways this morning. I better stay on topic. But it was revelation because God revealed the Torah to them and gave them instructions. After Jesus' resurrection, Jesus told his disciples to stay in Jerusalem and you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And again, they had no idea what to expect. Now, this time was different because while Moses was on the mountain for 40 days, here Jesus is with them for 40 days. I love it. He was teaching them and explaining all the scriptures to them about the concerning the kingdom of God. Now, that's very important. He was teaching them the scriptures concerning the kingdom of God. So their expectations were high, and their expectations were on one thing, the establishment of the kingdom of God in the earth, because that's what Jesus had talked to them. That's what Jesus preached for 3 years, and Jesus taught them and expanded on that. So Jesus has spent 40 days speaking to things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and then came Pentecost. Let's go back to Acts chapter 2, verse 1. It says, they were all in one accord in one place. Now, we usually look at this as they were all in one accord with each other. They were in one accord with God. Jesus had just taught them for 40 days about the kingdom of God. What do you think they were thinking of in the upper room? I wonder if this is going to make my hair the color I've always wanted it to be. I wonder if my family will like me after this. No, they were thinking about one thing, and that was the establishment of the kingdom of God on the earth. Because that's what Jesus had been teaching them. Now think how far away that is from the church today. We don't have a kingdom mentality because we thought church was all about us. Amen. We thought it was all about us going to heaven, about how to teach us how to live a holy life so that you won't fail at the last minute. And see, that's how I was raised. You could live perfectly your whole life, be the model Christian citizen, and 5 minutes before you die, I'm still rattling, 5 minutes before you die, you could let out a cuss word, and boy, that just, you're in hell for all of eternity. I mean, we were raised with that expectation. I mean, they didn't actually teach it as a doctrine, but that was the expectation that we had. So they're all in one accord. Now, I want you to think about this. Go to Revelation 11:15. We're not going to spend time there, but Revelation 11:15, I believe, is what Jesus was teaching them for 40 days. It says this, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. We've heard all kinds of predictions and prophecies for the last 10 years. We're getting ready for a transference of wealth. And I'm disappointed because most of the time they're talking about money. Wealth is not money. Wealth is position and power. Money is a product of that. Wealth is when you have power, when you have authority. And we have been watching that transference for the last 3 years. That's why the world is crying out the way that it's crying out. Donald Trump has lifted up the church again and has been one pressing for the freedom and religious liberty of the church again. And the critics don't like it that he's, I mean, if he was Mike Pence, they would condemn him for being religious, but he's Donald Trump. Everybody knows Donald Trump never has been religious. He's a believer, but he's not religious. Oh, it's refreshing, isn't it? It really is. He's not bowed down and covered up and bound up with all the religious things that the church is bound with. He's just Donald Trump, born again, serving God, going his direction. And I know a lot of people will get, wow, how dare you say that? Well, look at his critics. For 3 years, they have mocked God. For 3 years, they have said, what good is prayer? When the coronavirus hit, all the things that they said against God, I'm seriously waiting for someone to drop over dead. It hasn't gotten quite that serious yet, but it's real serious about what some of these people have said. News people, politicians, I am amazed at what they're saying and what God has let go and not brought immediate punishment for them. See, Jesus' entire ministry was based on repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That was his message. You don't hear that preached too often. You don't hear people saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. No, we say, well, no, this is how you feel good about yourself, and this is how you grow in goodness and even grow and increase in righteousness, but it's not about repentance, because we've got a messed up idea of what repentance is. Now, let's go back to Acts chapter 2. Jesus is teaching repent. He says, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And then, they're getting in one mind with Christ. They're getting in that flow of Christ-likeness, of establishing the kingdom on earth. And they're in one accord, in one place. And in chapter 2, verse 2 of Acts, it says, there came a sound from heaven. The sound there is used as a roaring of a lion. It wasn't just a gentle breeze. It was a sound and a rushing, mighty wind. It wasn't a wind, but it sounded like it. They didn't have turbines. They didn't have a whole lot of stuff. So what they used was the thing they had the natural example of. That's a rushing, mighty wind. It's loud. It's roar. It roars at times. It's like the lion of the tribe of Judah, and it's just setting out a roar. And this is what they referenced it to. I'm trying to get this microphone reestablished. There we go. So there came a sound from heaven. In verse 3 it says, and there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire. As of fire. I mean, this was the glory of God coming down. It doesn't say it was fire, but it was as of fire. But they saw the divided tongues like fire, and it sat on each one of them independently. In chapter 2, verse 4, it says, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues. I think that's why he used tongues in the first one, because they began to speak with foreign tongues. They began to speak in languages that they did not know. Now, this is not a message about speaking in tongues. The point of this is found in Acts 2, verse 1. It says, suddenly. See, they didn't know what to expect. They didn't know what was going to happen. They weren't sitting around with their notebooks saying, we're waiting for the roar. We're waiting for the rushing mighty wind. We're waiting to see tongues of fire. We're waiting till we all speak in other tongues. See, these are all outward manifestations, but they didn't know what to expect. They didn't know what was going on, but they were just suddenly. Here they are. They're probably talking about when the kingdom of God comes. And suddenly, all these things began to happen. Now, this is an awesome thing. This is a special Pentecost. We don't know exactly what to expect. And God is suddenly doing things. Amen? He's suddenly, all over the world, he's suddenly doing things. Now, this is the reality of what Jesus revealed to them was coming to pass. God's been speaking to us in personal words of prophecy since 2013. And for those of you that go back and read those prophecies, we are seeing what God prophesied coming to pass. Suddenly, some things that he spoke 3 years ago, some things he spoke 2 weeks ago, we are now watching those things come to pass. And it's suddenly, this is what he meant. This is what he's referring to. Oh, now I can have hope for the future. I can have hope for what's ahead because of what God has already spoken to us and revealed to us. Amen? So it's good. Now listen, it's good to understand Scripture and you think you know what is coming. But when it comes, it blows every presupposition away. There is a difference between dreams and reality. And most of the time we are so caught up in our dreams when reality comes, we don't even recognize it. Because we've made a plaything of it and we're not seeing the reality, the manifestation of it in reality. Because we don't know what it's going to look like. We don't understand these things. Woody, when he was here, he said, revival challenges the norms. And that's what's going on right now. It's challenging the norms of the church. I believe we're going to see that. I believe we're entering into the separation of the church, the true church, from the institutional church. I believe today is that point of demarcation where you're going to start seeing a divide in the church. I'm already seeing it in some aspects. It's been apparent for years, but at the same time, it's going to get more divisive now as you start seeing Christians coming out against other Christians. The prophecies are now becoming real. The things that he's spoken to us, the things in the Bible that he spoke to the disciples, the things in Scripture that he's still revealing to us, we are starting to see these things become real. In 1 Corinthians 13:12, it says, "For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known." This is our day to know. This is our day to understand some things. This is our day when we put our Bible lenses on and we start seeing the world for what it is and for God for who he is, and we start understanding what is going on in the earth. Amen. Pentecost is called the Feast of Revelation, the Feast of Knowing. It is a massive, major download occurring. And that's what's going on. That's why the disciples couldn't understand it. You know, after they got the download on the day of Pentecost, they went out and preached and they went to the Gentiles. They didn't know you could go to the Gentiles. Remember Peter's amazement? When he said, "Golly, the Holy Ghost fell on the Gentiles just like he did on us Jews." He said, they didn't expect this. And the Gentile church is now stronger than the Jewish church because it has been opened up. We know, well, let me say it like this, because we're all into computers, right? Everybody knows what a computer is today. Did you know that you have programs on your computer that can do so much more than what you're aware of? So much more than what you're using it for. I heard years ago when they were developing some of these programs, and people would write in and say, "Well, I didn't know your program would do this." And the programmer said, "We didn't either." They were writing code, and one piece of code affects this, but they found out when you did different keystrokes and used different portions of the code, it still would produce something that they were unaware of. This is how the download of the Holy Spirit is in you. There is more in there than what you're using. There is more in you of God than what you're aware of. No matter what level you have reached, there is so much more that you haven't even tapped, because most of us haven't read the manual. We bought books on some of the programs we had, and we would go through the books and try to read them. Well, we didn't understand them. But Debbie picked up a few things, and she can do some things on the computer that I'm still, if I need them, go to Debbie, because she knows how to do them. Because I don't want to take the time to learn them. You know, but I want to use them. I just don't want to take time to learn it. How many of you are like that with God? You know, if I want to know prophecy, I'm going to go to you. I'm going to hunt somebody up that knows Bible prophecy. I'm going to hunt somebody up that knows this. I'm going to hunt them up, because I don't have the time to learn it all myself. See, and there's parts that God has downloaded into us that you're not even aware that you have. We in the church today, we know Pentecost as the birth of the church. But it is, now listen, it is the revelation of Christ in us, the hope of glory. This is what Pentecost is. It is the revelation, the feast of the revelation of Christ in us. Amen. I want to hear an amen on that. It is a revelation of Christ in us, the hope of glory. Pentecost is also, now get this, it is also the revelation of the church. Not just of Christ in us. We need that. I'm going to have to just stand still. It is the revelation of the church. Go to Matthew chapter 16. Oh man. Matthew chapter 16. And starting in verse 13, I believe it is 13. It says, this is setting up what's going on. Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, and he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" Go down to verse 16, and Simon Peter answers and says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, that and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Jesus is talking about the church. And he tells Peter, "I am going to build my church." Not make you feel better. Jesus warned us about persecution, warned us about friends turning against us. He warned us about all false teachers and false leaders. But Jesus is here talking about, "I am going to build my church." Do you get that? Pentecost is a revelation of the church of Jesus Christ. Pentecost is that the kingdoms of the world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. It is the day of the awakening of the church, the shot heard round the world. This is what today is. And we are giving a shot that's being heard around the world. We are changing government this morning. California had over 3,000 churches say, "We're going to open on Pentecost regardless." The governor said, "No, you're not." They said, "Yes, we are." Governor said, "Okay, yes, you are. You're going to be limited to 10 people." And they say, "No, we're not." He said, "Yes, you are." And the church said, "No, we're not." So the order came down on high the other day. You're going to have up to 100 now, or 25%. Now get this, the churches are following social distancing. They're using the masks. They're doing everything according to protocol, but the governors, several governors, still want to shut the church down. Why? Because this is the outcoming of the church. It is the manifestation of the church. And with just threatening to meet on Sunday, on today, governments have yielded to the church. That is the power that the church has if we will understand the revelation of the church that Jesus is giving to us. Governments fall, bow their knee before the church, because greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world. And they know it. They just don't want to have to recognize it. Listen, the church was never intended to be an added event in your life. It was meant to be the power maker, the culture shifting movement in the earth. The church is called to transform the world into the kingdom of God. That is the mission of the church. Woody talked about that. No, I'm sorry. It was Lance Wallnau has talked about. We are in the rebirth or the reformation revealing the assignment of the church. It is Pentecost. God is calling the church to wake up. He's given us a download so we can understand the power and the influence the church has, that we've yielded up to the governments that be, the prince of the power of the air, because we don't want to offend anybody. And the offense was, they said, "Well, we'll just take away from you what you think you have." Have you noticed the conversation has changed? I'm trying to get to my point. The conversation has changed in America from the shutdown to a concept of liberty. And where did that come from? It came from the church. Listen, it didn't come from Walmart. They were essential. But the governor said the church was not essential. And the church finally said, "Wait a minute, I kind of think we are." And the church said, "We think we're essential." "No, you're not. We can get along without you." And the church said, "No, you can't." And when we said we're going to meet, can you imagine California going into 3,000 different churches and arresting the pastors and putting them in jail? We're not treating protesters that way. But they have threatened to do it to pastors and to church members. fining them $500 for driving to a drive-in church that was authorized. This is the things that we're coming against. That, listen, the church must awake to righteousness. Jesus said in Luke 24:49, "Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high." It's said that that healing is the children's bread. And healing, listen, healing is supposed to be an introduction to the kingdom of God. Healing is not the end all, it is the introduction. It is the beginning manifestation of the kingdom of God. Just like tongues is not the end all. Do you know how many Pentecostals, once they get baptized in the Spirit and pray in other tongues, quit? I've arrived. No. It's just the beginning. It's initiation into what God has prepared for us, but you've got to go into it. He says, tarry until you are endued with power from on high. Jesus preached the kingdom of God and healed. Did you catch it? He taught the kingdom of God and healed as a sign that the kingdom of God was present. He told the disciples in Luke 10:9, when he sent them out, heal the sick and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near you. I want to tell you, the church is out in front. The church has always been out in front. We just didn't know it. We were so busy looking to the rear, we didn't know we were the leaders. We're so worried about everyone catching up to us, and they're watching us to find out where the heck you're going. And we're looking in the rearview mirror trying to drive forward, and we're driving in circles. And the people have finally figured it out, and they're just standing there because the church isn't going anywhere. Hello? Aaron represents the church when he took the censer from the temple and ran out in the plague. When the prayers of the saints reached the outer boundary of the plague stopped. The church has been running with prayer. The church has been out in front of this plague, and the plague is stopping in the name of Jesus Christ because the church has been out there. Listen, we are the cutting edge. We are the cutting edge. As the church goes, so goes the world. The church changes lives, yes, but the church changes cultures and nations. If we don't understand that, we don't understand the power and the influence of the church. It's not just about you. See, the church introduces a spirit of liberty, and the world knows it. That's why the church has changed the conversation from the lockdown to one of liberty, of freedom, of being able to go where you go when you want to, be able to worship as you want to. Do you know one governor even came out and said, well, churches may be able to reassemble, but they won't be able to sing the way they used to sing in church. What, are you going to come and pick out our songs? Are you going to tell the choir how close they can stand? Are we all going to wear a plastic bubble about us so we don't bump into other people? You know, this thing is coming to an end. We are going to get back to normal. We are going to get back to not only full football games, we're going to come back to full churches. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is telling. This is my final things. This is telling. A Harvard professor of psychology, Steven Pinker, tweeted last week. Now, this is the tweet. Go ahead, Steven, and put that up. Belief in an afterlife is a malignant delusion. Since it devalues actual lives and discourages action that would make them longer, safer, and happier. Exhibit A. What's really behind Republicans wanting a swift reopening? Evangelicals. He knows it. He got the memo. I wonder if the church has gotten the memo. You know? If God would write a letter, where the heck would he send it? Who would open it? Most of us have address unavailable because we're not ready to eat. He's a sinner, an unbeliever. Can you believe afterlife is a malignant delusion? Because if you believe in an afterlife, you have to believe in God. You have to believe that there is more than just what you see and hear here in the natural. And that means man can't control you when you believe in something greater than man. It's a question of liberty. Now, I want to put this up. This is from Dennis Prager. I've been watching a lot of him on PragerU. But this is what he said in a column he wrote on May the 26th in response to Steven Pinker and his malignant delusion. He said, "Evangelicals oppose the continuing of the lockdown because they, more than any other large community in America, continue to believe in freedom. Without the evangelical community, we will no longer have liberty." Without the evangelical community, we will no longer have liberty. Do you wonder why they're coming against the church? He continues, "From before the birth of America," I love this, "before the birth of America, liberty has been the cornerstone belief because it was a cornerstone Christian value." Liberty. "The founders engraved a liberty-affirming verse from the Bible, Leviticus 25:10, in the Liberty Bell. At the same time, from Lenin to Soros and today's Democratic Party, liberty has never been a left-wing value." That is a powerful statement. But he says the concept of liberty is the church. Why? Because Jesus came to set the captives free. And this is why China is so afraid and persecutes the underground church, because if the underground church ever is accepted and gains a position of political power, they will overthrow the communist regime. Just like it overthrew Russia. Gorbachev that ended Russia, turns out he was a born-again Christian. His mother was a born-again Christian. And the communists put him in charge thinking he was a communist. He was a stealth believer. And he brought communism to an end. "Awake to righteousness. To who we, the church, are in Christ, we need to awake to our mission." This is what's going on today around the world. The church is starting to arise, starting to wake up to our mission to bring the concept of liberty in Christ Jesus to the world. Amen. Let's stand. Father God, we give you praise. We thank you, Father, we are born again. We thank you, Father, that we in this house, we've called on your name. But God, there's others outside that do not know you. There's others outside that are bound in sin, bound up in themselves, bound up, Father, in their own trouble, bound up in strife and bitterness, in wounds and hurts. And Father, you told us we're to set them free. Father, we thank you that your gospel is not to a select chosen, but it is to everyone who hears, that they would repent, that they could become part of the kingdom of God in the earth. Father, we pray for the church to be strong, that we would have the awareness of who we are and what's going on, that you, Father, would have sway over us, that we would not walk in the fear of man, but the fear of God. And Father, we pray for those who are outside the church that have not heard. We pray for them, God, to be born again, to hear the true message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Father, we pray for that part of the church that will persecute us, that will come against us, God, that they would hear your clarion call, that they would yield to you, Father, that they would experience Pentecost as well and wake up to a revelation of your church. We ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. God bless you.